Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, the whole point of Krishna consciousness is to connect with Krishna. So the very first time that I met Prabhupada, he was speaking on one verse, which gives the key of how to easily connect with Krishna. So today we will discuss this verse, this most wonderful verse, which is in chapter 7, text number 8 of the Bhagavad Gita. Very sweet and wonderful, wonderful verse this is.
Rasoham apsukanteya prabhashmi shashi shuryayo pranava sarva vedeshu shagdake parushanshu.
Krishna is saying, O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Prabhupada has given a very nice purport. This verse explains how the Lord is all pervasive by his diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by his different energies. And in this way, he is realized impersonally. As the demigod in the sun is a person, and is perceived by his all-pervading energy, the sunshine, so the Lord, although in his eternal abode, is perceived by his all-pervading diffusive energies. The taste of water is the active principle of water. No one likes to drink seawater because the pure taste is mixed with salt. Attraction for water depends on the purity of the taste, and this pure taste is one of the energies of the Lord. The impersonalist perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste, and the personalist also glorifies the Lord for his kindly supplying tasty water to quench man's thirst. That is the way of perceiving the Supreme. Practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. One who knows God knows that the impersonal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and thus there is no contradiction. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya established his sublime doctrine, or Chumsha, Bheda, and Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. The light of the sun and the moon is also originally emanating from the Brahma Jyoti, which is the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. And pranava, or the omkara, transcendental sound in the beginning of every Vedic hymn, addresses the Supreme Lord. Because the impersonalists are very much afraid of addressing the Supreme Lord Krishna by his innumerable names, they prefer to vibrate the transcendental sound Omkara. But they do not realize that Omkara is the sound representation of Krishna. The jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness extends everywhere, and one who knows Krishna consciousness is blessed. Those who do not know Krishna are in illusion, and so knowledge of Krishna is liberation, and ignorance of him is bondage. Om Ajnana Timurandusha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namo. So, the real reason that we actually exist is to connect with God. If you really get down to it, it's not to, you know, support the gross national product, which is what the, you know, politicians want. We are, I don't know if they call it that in Australia, in America it's called the GNP, the Gross National Product. We are actually meant to connect with God. That's why we exist. So, many people, you know, I would say out of the mass population, there's a very small percentage who are serious about self-realization, who actually want to connect with God. But most of those don't really do it. It's only a very rare number who actually master the art of connecting with God. It's very rare. This is confirmed by Krishna in the Gita. He says, Manushanam Sahasreshu. Out of thousands among them, Manushanam Sahasreshu, Kashchid Yatati Siddhaye, Yatatam Api Siddhanam, Kashchin Mam Viti Tatvataha. You speak Sanskrit. Out of thousands of men, hardly one, you see, only one will come to the seeking the Absolute Truth. And of those who are seeking the Absolute Truth, hardly even one will realize, you see. So it's a very, 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 very rare thing to realize that. So, actually today I was answering a letter I got from one of my students in Denver. And she's struggling to be Krishna conscious. Actually, it's not difficult to be Krishna conscious, but for some reason she's finding it to be difficult, you see. So I went through the email, I was counseling her that actually one should learn how to connect with Krishna easily and naturally. Because actually Krishna is there everywhere. Actually we're already connected with Krishna. Actually Krishna is right there at our fingertips. He's not that far away, actually. We simply have to learn how to connect with him. And this verse, when I first came into the presence, the physical presence that is, in His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is blessing us here in the form of His Murti manifestation today. Prabhupada told us, an assembly, it was mostly non-devotees actually in the assembly. He said, you have all seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. He says, I am the taste of water. He says, every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. Prabhupada explained, if every time you will drink water, you will simply remember that Krishna is the taste of the water. He said, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. To be Krishna conscious is not difficult, Prabhupada explained. He said, it simply requires practice. So actually Krishna is there everywhere. He's the light of the sun, light of the moon, the taste of the water, the syllable om, the sound in ether. Any sound vibration that you're hearing actually is a manifestation of Krishna. The sound of the ocean, even the sound of the traffic. Everything. Every single sound vibration is actually a manifestation of Krishna. So whether you're seeing something, whether you're hearing something, whether you're tasting something, actually you're coming in contact with Krishna. Krishna is there within everything, and everything is within Krishna also. Krishna is there, He wants to have a loving relationship with you. He's actually pouring His love upon you at every minute. Unlimited love, unlimited mercy, He's pouring on you at every minute. So all He wants is a little reciprocation. That's all He's asking. Give me a little reciprocation for all this love I'm giving you. Don't neglect me. So it's not really that difficult to become Krishna conscious. We make it difficult. This is the result of our modern day sophisticated educational system. We learn to become very, very proud, you see. But actually a simple child can chant Hare Krishna. When I was preaching in Kaunas, Lithuania on this tour. Some parents brought their little girl. They said, can you give her a spiritual nickname? So I asked the little girl, why are you attracted to Krishna? And she paused for a minute and she said, because he's so beautiful. I said, your nickname will be Shamsundari. But anyway, a simple child can be attracted because Krishna is so beautiful. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to appreciate beauty. It doesn't take a PhD, a corporate executive, a governmental officer, you see. A simple child can look at Krishna. It's like here Balaram, or here the deities. A simple child can look, oh, here, you see, Krishna is so beautiful, you see, so full of beauty, you see. So, instead of complicating things, we just have to appreciate how Krishna is so beautiful. He's so attractive, he's so wonderful. And his name also, Krishna. Isn't that beautiful? Krishna. That name is so beautiful. You know, there's so much nectar in those two syllables, Krishna, that the entire universe can't even hold all that nectar. There's unlimited oceans of nectar oozing out of the pure sound vibration, Krishna. So that is my request to all of you. Don't make Krishna consciousness something complicated. It's actually, as Prabhupada said, it's very simple for the simple, but it's difficult for the crooked. So simply approach Krishna in a simple, simple, honest way, like that little girl, Shamsundari. Oh, he's so beautiful. You see. In a humble, simple way. What is even that is stated in the Bible, you know, to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. Just for that simple simplicity. You see. Oh, he's so beautiful. Krishna is so beautiful. And Radharani is so much appreciating the beauty of Krishna. She's so much in love with him. He's so beautiful, he's so charming, he's so wonderful, and she's so much in love with him, more than any girl could ever be in love with someone. She is, her love for Krishna is more intense, more pure, more powerful than any love that anyone has ever felt in history. This love between Radha and Krishna is very, 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 very special thing. Because she appreciates the beauty of Krishna more than anyone. So we can just see how Radharani is loving Krishna. Simple village girl. She's not a big Vedic scholar, knowing so many mantras. She's not a yogi sitting in the Himalayas doing all kinds of austerity. She's just a simple village girl. But she loves Krishna like anything. Everything about him, she's just totally infatuated with everything about Krishna. So we can just have this simple appreciation for Krishna, how beautiful he is, how wonderful his activities are, how amazing his qualities are, you see. How he so kindly manifests in so many varieties of ways to help us to become liberated from all of our suffering conditions in this material world. What will be the result? What will be the result if we can have that simple appreciation of Krishna? Do you know what will be the result? The result will be we will taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. Existence, instead of being painful, existence will become delicious. It's meant to be delicious. Existence is meant to be a delicious experience, not a painful experience. You see? We don't even know what enjoyment is in this material world. We think, well, when the suffering isn't so bad, then I'm enjoying. No. When you get back to that original pure state, Krishna consciousness, love of God, every moment is the sweetest nectar. Every single moment you're tasting the sweetest nectar. So there's no knowledge. Krishna says this is the ultimate knowledge, Raja Vidya. There's no knowledge like this anywhere. It's a fact. There isn't. There's no knowledge like this anywhere. I can understand why the whole city hasn't come today. Why they're not fighting to see who will get a seat in here to hear about Krishna. But Krishna has answered my question. He says, not only is it the ultimate knowledge, it is also Rajaguhyam, the ultimate secret. Yes, it is known only to a few insiders. Only a few insiders actually know Krishna. Why? Because the influence of the illusory energy is there, bewildering the mass population on this planet. The global consciousness right now is in the mode of ignorance. Sorry, we have to tell things like it is. The global consciousness is in Sanskrit language is called tamaguna. All the way from the political leaders, the college professors, the musicians, the athletes, it's going on in the mode of ignorance with a little bit of passion sometimes. It is going on in heavy tamagun. That's the reason why things don't work very well. Why we have, the world is divided up into nations. Do you know that's artificial? Do you know that's artificial for the world to be divided up into so many different political entities? Where every time you come to a certain place on the planet, they say, where's your passport? When you come to Australia, where's your fruit? Where's your nuts? Like, throw them away. We had that experience coming here. We had no idea what we were facing. We tried to enter Australia. Thought they were going to take away everything. So, and this is the nature of this material world. We have made it into a difficult place. Because we've forgotten the reality. We've forgotten that there is a Supreme God and we are all His servants. We've forgotten that we're actually one family. All living beings. Not only humans, but the animals also. And the plants. We are one family of living beings on this planet because we are all the children of God. If we can realize that common center, then there can be complete peace and happiness throughout the world. But instead of the common center, we're thinking, well, Australia is the center, or the US is the center, it's a competing center, India is the center, or this ism is the center, that ism is the center. So much conflict going on in the world. Unnecessary conflict for no purpose. All we have to do is come back to the original position. Jivara Svarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. The constitutional position of a living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna, or God. So we're asking you all to take this very seriously. Please try to use your human life for the purpose for which it is meant, to awaken the dormant love of God within your heart. You have unlimited wealth right there within your heart. You see, right now you're suffering as a pauper in this material world. Birth, death, old age and disease. But actually you possess the greatest wealth, the greatest treasure of eternity, full knowledge and full bliss. You have it right now. Right there within your heart. You see. Just as a match has fire within it, So you have the greatest treasure, pure Krishna prema, right there in your heart right now, sleeping. And just as a match becomes fire when it is struck on the proper surface, the living being, when he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, receives the seed of bhakti within the heart. And if the living entity will take proper, will realize how they've been blessed by the bona fide spiritual master with the seed of bhakti, and they will then cultivate that seed by regularly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and avoid the weeds of illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Then that seed of love of God, which is planted by the bona fide spiritual master in the heart of the sincere hearer, that seed will fructify into a full-blown creeper of love of God. It will penetrate through the coverings of the universe and enable one to taste the sweetest nectar in the divine pastimes of Sri Sri, Radha and Krishna. So all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Take it very seriously, do it every day. Associate with the devotees here at the Hare Krishna temple here in Montreal. Melbourne. Too many lectures in too many cities. The M was the same, the letter M. You can see I've been on the road for a long time. Been on the road so long, it seems like home now. Home sweet home on the road for Krishna. But the fact is that if you come here regularly to our Melbourne Center, associate with the wonderful devotees here, hear from them, learn from them, render service here, attend the classes, read the books, follow the instructions, you will taste the sweetest nectar at every minute, and that nectar will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity, we guarantee it. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, nowadays this is called the age of Kali, where we see that counterfeit notes are more common than genuine notes. I mean, this is speaking analogously now. This is an age of cheating. So the fact is that there are a multitude of persons claiming to be gurus, claiming to be incarnations of God, being said to be gurus, being said to be incarnations of God. And we're seeing a situation where it's practically 99.99% bogus. You see? So one may think, there's no such thing as a bona fide spiritual master. One could think that. But this is a counterfeit note in circulation indicates that somewhere there's a genuine note of which is an imitation. Then somewhere there must be a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, how an imitations can come out? So one has to, just like if you were going to in the business as a gold merchant, you would have to know the difference between real gold and imitation gold. Otherwise, you'd be cheated right and left.
It's just like there's a set of instructions.
What is it? I'm speak a little louder, speak loudly and clearly. You got it clear? Yeah, the point is that if you were going to go into business as a gold merchant, you would have to know the difference between real gold and fool's gold, otherwise you'd be cheated right and left. So some preliminary knowledge is actually required to know what is a bona fide spiritual master, so you won't be cheated. That's why the Vedic wisdom is there. That is God's gift to the world. If you carefully study the Vedic wisdom, for example, the Mundaka Upanishad, then you will actually know what is a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvaganartam sagarum eva megasyat samitpanihi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. It is described there that it is absolutely required if you want to become enlightened that you have to approach a spiritual master, and then it describes his qualities, so you'll know what they are. Shrotiyam, he is fixed in the Vedic wisdom. It's the first quality. And Brahmanishtam, and he's fixed in Krishna consciousness, you see. So these are the qualities mentioned in the Mundaka Upanishad. Spiritual master has to be conversant, he has to be speaking from the Vedic wisdom. If he's speaking his own opinions, his own ideas, he's bogus. But if he's purely presenting that knowledge which is given in the Vedas, he's an authorized, bona fide spiritual master. So that is the test. Is he speaking the Vedic wisdom, or is he concocting something new? Yes, that's a fact. Confirmed by the Mundaka Upanishad. Yeah, we don't speak our own opinions. My duty is to simply give the Vedic wisdom as it is, without any addition or subtraction. Just like your FedEx, do you have FedEx here? DHL. Your DHL delivery man, what's his duty? He gives the package as it is. If he opens that package and removes something or adds something to it, he'll be fired immediately. He's a bogus employee. No, the DHL employee is not authorized to tamper with the package. Let's say you send me a package, right? Via DHL. What is it?
What if he has some sort of a thank you to the package?
Some what?
Thank you note with a package. If someone sends a thank you note with a package.
Yes. DHL. That's fine. If you sent a note with your DHL package and somebody added something to the note that wasn't your words, would that make you happy?
If it benefited me in some way, I'd have to say maybe it could.
So whenever you mail a letter, you should put a little note to the postman. My dear postman, if you feel that you can improve the quality of my letter, then kindly open it and change it before you deliver it. Is that what you're going to do? What is it?
She's not going to. She's going to business with you.
Huh?
So you obviously don't like it, so I know it.
It wouldn't be business wise.
Yeah, I can't hear it so well, but... Say it loudly and clearly, but
it would not be business-like.
But you should put a note on, if you feel that's a good philosophy, then you want it, that should be, things should be that way. Then you put a note every time you write a letter and to my dear postman, please open this up and see if you can improve on what I have written before you deliver it. You see, but that's not the system. That's not the system. The postman is meant to deliver the letter as it is without changing it. And the spiritual master also. Any other questions? Yes.
You are saying that the Krishna prema is everywhere.
Krishna is everywhere.
Krishna is everywhere, but then still, why does the Lord Himself say that only 1 in 1,000 of people will take the path?
Only what?
1 in 1,000 of people will take to Krishna.
Yes. Because they become blind to Krishna.
Sorry?
Because they want to imitate Krishna. They want to take His position as the Supreme. Therefore, they are blind to His presence. Krishna reveals Himself to His pure devotees. He reserves the right not to reveal Himself to those who are envious of Him. So even though He's everywhere, actually, there's nowhere where Krishna is not present. He's only perceivable or experienceable, consciously experienceable to His devotees. But everybody has the equal opportunity to be a devotee. It's not that He's partial. He's totally impartial. Everyone has the equal opportunity to be Krishna's devotee. So now we just have to take the opportunity he's giving us. Become his devotee. Taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. Loving Krishna. Questions more? Yeah.
We do a lot of activities in this world.
Yes.
Some people behavior may annoy us sometimes.
Yes, yes.
So in all these activities there are some hidden reactions of our previous.
Yes, karma is going on.
Some can be other living entities action coming in as some kind of room, I don't know. You may not like it, right, for example.
Sure.
Or somebody doing like activities by own desires,
sure.
Not necessarily by reaction.
Okay.
Or some activities could be God's desire as well.
Yes, yes.
So is there any way that we can distinguish these things? Why I ask this question is, if I know that a particular activity happening around me is the desire of Krishna, then I don't feel angry or something like that.
Right.
Otherwise, I try to react. It could be because of my past karma's reaction. Then probably
yes.
I can also solace myself. Okay, I'm react. Somebody is reacting to me.
Yeah.
It's because of my past karma.
Right.
So I keep calm.
So what's the question?
Question is, how do I distinguish these things in this?
Well, ultimately, if you really want to go to the deepest level of perception, ultimately everything is. This is Krishna's mercy. It's happening. If you want to go deep enough, you'll see that everything that's happening to you, not what you're doing, but those things that are happening to you, they're all the mercy of Krishna. They serve the purpose of helping you to come back to Him. It could be, you know, suffering some previous karmic reaction. The fact is, if somebody is harassing you, you know, previous lifetime, you harassed them and you're just getting your reaction. You know what I mean? So you have to see that actually is Krishna's kindness to bring you to the point of realizing, why should I remain frustrated in this karma chakra any longer? Why don't I just surrender to Him and get out of this karma chakra, this action reaction?
So basically you're accepting everything coming around you?
Kunti Devi was actually praying for problems. Because she found them conducive. You know that prayer? Queen Kunti? Vipada shantita shashvat tatra tatra jagad garo bhavanam darshanam yashad apunar bhava darshanam. She was saying, Krishna, please let those annoying things come again and again. Because when they come, I have no choice but to take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, then I know that I'll no longer be subject to birth and death. So please, give me more of these calamities, more of these annoying, disturbing situations. She was begging for it. She was in exile with her sons for 13 years. You know the Mahabharata. Can you imagine a woman, a queen, being in that situation, who was used to palace life? Now she's living in the forest where there's man-eating demons. With no home, no residence, a horrible situation for a woman to be in. See? And then she finally, the whole thing was over, the whole ordeal was finished after 13 years. Now she's back in the palace, her sons are ruling the world, they won the battle, and everything is so nicely arranged. And she's saying, oh Krishna, please let those calamities come back. That's when I could really be fixed in Krishna consciousness, when I was in difficulty. So the fact is that actually everything we can, a devotee can see everything as the mercy of Krishna. And appreciate every single thing that happens to him as Krishna's mercy. And that way he becomes very peaceful.
What is the occasion when we react?
What is it?
What is the occasion if everything is you're accepting it, basically, whatever it comes around you, right? So, what is the difference between we have some reaction to express, isn't it?
No, you should act. You're saying, and therefore, you should accept everything. No.
That's what I want to know.
Our philosophy is not to accept everything. Our philosophy is to surrender to Krishna. I mean, look at the battle. Arjuna was saying, "Oh Krishna, okay Krishna, I just want to accept it. Let him rule." No, Krishna said, "You fight the battle on my order." Our philosophy is not to be, "I will just accept everything." No. You see everything as Krishna's arrangement, and then you do the duty given to you by Krishna, by Guru. Then you execute your prescribed duty. You see, like Arjuna. He wanted to accept it. Krishna, let me just be peaceful and just accept it all and not worry about it. No. You have to fight this battle, Arjuna. So arise thou and fight the battle. Don't. You're seeing everything as Krishna's arrangement. It's also Krishna's arrangement for you to engage in his service in a certain way, according to his directions. Is it? Is that clear?
Yeah, that point is clear.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is, in the material world, so many things happen. You can't relate everything to the same point. For example, battlefield, Krishna, and Arjuna fighting.
Why not? What you cannot relate?
Sorry.
What you cannot relate to?
I don't know. So lot of things I can't. Describe.
For example.
This is Krishna.
For example,
sorry?
Give me one thing that you cannot relate to Krishna conscious philosophy.
For example, you know, someone steals your idea and sells it somewhere, for example.
Yes.
As he's born, for example.
Yes.
It's not related to Krishna conscious or anything, but in general thing, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
You naturally get annoyed or something like that, right?
No, that one should deal with it with a cool head, that's all. If some, there's no reason to become bewildered and frustrated. You just deal with it in a very intelligent, cool-headed way, in a dutiful way. This will interfere with someone that's stolen my identity, so this has to be resolved so that my service to Krishna is not impaired by this difficulty. Again, you're burning off some reaction. At the same time, you can see you're burning off some reaction for past sinful activity. By suffering that identity theft, you're actually burning off some of your past karma. So now be careful not to do anything to create any more karma by always being engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. We're not saying to become, you know, just become an avaduta and not function, just sit down and whatever comes. No. You have a duty, you perform your duty according to Krishna, according to Guru, according to the directions of Vaishnavas. You engage in your duty. At the same time, do not be disturbed by the actions and reactions going on in this material world, seeing there's a divine plan behind everything. Nothing is happening by chance. Everything is happening under divine supervision. Questions, Mom? Yes.
So, would you like to share some deep spiritual experiences you have in your own life, perhaps connected with your previous life, if you realize something more?
Yes. He's asked if I'd like to share some of my practical realizations. And I certainly would like to do that. When I was a college student, I was thinking, what's the purpose? I mean, I was good, you know, I was making good grades, I was on the dean's list, you know. I had no problem making, you know, doing my duties materially. But I was thinking, what is the use of all this? I'm just going to get old and sick and die. Why am I, if my life is simply to work hard to get a degree, to get a job, to get a house, to get a wife, to get some kids, and then to retire to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and play shuffleboard with the other senior citizens. And then you're buried 6 feet under, you know, with the flowers on my grave once a year until they forget about me, then what's the point of all this? Didn't make sense. I said, there has to be something deeper than this. This is not enough. Sorry, I don't buy it. I can't devote myself to this. It's got to be something more. So I began a quest for many, many years. For many, many long years, I searched and I searched and I searched to find out what is the actual truth. What is the meaning of existence? And finally, when I found the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you see, and the followers of Prabhupada, I saw the ideal example of an enlightened life. I said, yes, this is it. Questions more? Yes.
You're saying Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and crooked for the crooked.
Difficult for the crooked.
If one, because in Kali you may be associating with crooked or difficult.
Yes.
How is it possible? Or is it possible to become simple? How can we become simple?
Yes. His question is very nice. Since we've explained that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked, well, we're in a crooked world, now we have these crooked tendencies, so how we can simplify ourselves and just be simple? It's a very good question. The answer is you have to find people who have possessed that quality of simplicity. And you associate with them, you serve them, you learn from them, you inquire from them. There's two qualities. There's simplicity and there's duplicity. Even the Christians, there's an old Christian hymn. Very nice. It warned the Christian follower against associating with those who are duplicitous. It went like this. It said, if you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, stay out of the way of the long-tongued liar. O good shepherd, feed my sheep. So actually, it's very important that we have to avoid duplicitous association. We have to find those persons who are simple and associate with them. You see. Those persons, by imbibing their qualities, then we will develop those qualities. Prabhupada one time said, too much devoted, there is motive. So even in Krishna consciousness movement, we have to be very judicious. Sometimes someone comes into Krishna consciousness with a motive. Well, I want to become famous, I want to be a powerful leader. That's not simplicity. That's duplicity. We need to find association of persons who simply want to develop their love for God. That's all they want. That's the kind of association we need. They just want to love Krishna. That's all. Nothing else. And whatever Krishna gives them, that's all right. They're not demanding Krishna. Their only demand is that Krishna, please never let me forget you. That is their only demand. They have no other demand except that. That's simplicity. We need to find out those kind of devotees. They are advanced devotees. And we have to associate with them and serve them with love. And then that quality of simplicity will become our personal property. Questions more? What is it? Louder and clearer?
How do you differentiate willful action and destiny?
What is he saying?
Willful action and
destiny.
How do you ones differentiate between truthful action, truthfulness,
willful
action,
and destiny.
And destiny. Oh, okay. Very good question. Some people say that, well, everything is just destiny, so, you know, I'm not really responsible for anything I do, because it's all just destiny. Some people say, no, it's not predestined, you know, you have your free will. So this is an age-old debate in the Western world, free will versus determinism. It's an age-old debate, going on for centuries. So what is the actual proper understanding? Actually, both of them are correct. You see, Krishna conscious philosophy actually is able to perfect everything. Even the age-old, you know, debate, free will versus determinism, Krishna consciousness perfectly resolves the conflict. So how does it do that? There are actually two different energies. There's the spiritual energy and there's the material energy. For one who has used their free will to try to imitate the Lord, they have put themselves in the material energy by doing that. That was their free will. As long as they remain in that material energy, then everything becomes determined by the law of karma. They have the free will, but they put it into a state of suspension while they are being carried along in the predetermined karma chakra, the wheel of birth and death. At any time, if they want to, they can revive their free will and get out of karma chakra by surrendering to Krishna. But as long as they opt to continue trying to be an independent enjoyer from the Supreme Lord, they remain entangled in action and reaction, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, just like on a conveyor belt. Sometimes they're a demigod, sometimes they're Indra, sometimes they're a germ, Indra-gopa. Sometimes there's a human, sometimes there's a dog, sometimes they're a male, sometimes a female. They're running the gamut of the 8,400,000 species according to the laws of karma, completely determined by karmic laws. But when they realize, doesn't seem right, and they use their, I'm not happy here, this doesn't satisfy me, then they're actually reviving their free will. It's available. Your free will is always there, but they deactivate their free will and become carried along by karma chakra. So both principles are valid. Now once you get to the spiritual energy, then you're living a life of full freedom. You're not under determinism. The spiritual energy is full freedom. You have full freedom to act in any way. Complete freedom. Questions more? Yes?
Arjuna had a very intimate relationship with Krishna. So when he was debating whether he should fight or not, Krishna gave him direct instructions, you know, you need to fight.
Yes.
But we don't have the intimate relation. So, you know, when we are continuing on that Prabhu's question, So when we are in that situation, how do we know what Krishna wants to do?
Yes. Very good. This is an excellent question you have asked. Because Krishna is not standing there on my chariot or, you know, in my Ford or whatever. So how am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to do? Well, Krishna has answered it for you in chapter 4, text 34. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnananastatpadarshinah. He says, just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So Krishna is saying, you approach my representative and follow his instructions. So whether you're taking the order directly from Krishna or from the spiritual master, the potency is the same. There's no difference. That is called the mystery of disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam mamam rajarshayo vidu. So you have to take a guru. Arjuna took Krishna as his guru. But we are not in that same position as Arjuna, that Krishna is standing there beside us. So we have to find, if Krishna has sent someone to us who can be our guru, a qualified person who is purely representing Krishna, we have to see if such a person is available. And if so, then we should take our guidance from him. And that will resolve the dilemma. Because Krishna is fully manifest in the form of the spiritual master, actually. Not that the spiritual master is Krishna, but he has the power of attorney from Krishna to act as good as Krishna for guiding the disciple. Just like if you work for a let's say you're an employee for IBM Corporation. And they come, you're a new hire, and you say, okay, here I am, ready to do my work. They say, okay, well, here's your first assignment. Say, well, I only take directions from the CEO. How long would you last in the company? I will only take managerial instructions directly from the CEO of IBM Corporation. It won't work. No, they have a whole system of managers. So So in the same way, Krishna has his system. In fact, he tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, he says, if you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. He says, only that person who is the devotee of my devotee do I accept to be actually my devotee. So Krishna wants you to work under the guidance of his representative. That's a fact. Questions more? Yeah, anyone? There's no more questions, I guess. The next question is, is it time for prasadam? So we can stop here. We thank you all very much for your kind attention. So kindly take this process very, very seriously. Make this your last lifetime in the material world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.